The current sponsor of Fraudology is Sardine. If you aren't familiar with them yet, Sardine protects every customer interaction from financial crime. Banks, retailers, and fintechs use Sardine to detect fraud patterns, prevent money laundering, and stop sophisticated scams. You'll get to learn more about them throughout this quarter on Fraudology. But if you'd like to learn more about Sardine now, you can click on the link in the show notes of this episode to read more about them and to request a personalized demonstration of Sardine's suite of products. Welcome to Fraudology Podcast, where we dive into the science and study of online fraud from the perspective of an e-commerce fraud fighter. I'm Carice Hendrick. A few months ago, I talked about the mother of all breaches. It was this giant database of PII that had been cobbled together from hundreds, if not thousands, of different data breaches to create a database of 26 billion records. That was huge and scary for those of us in the fraud community because we all know that we're the ones who are dealing with monetized data breach information or, you know, people trying to monetize the data breach information. Well, this last week, there's been even more data breaches announced. These are fresh data breaches, and I'm worried too. It's not 26 billion, but it's information that may or may not already be out there. And so it's fresh. And it's looking like it's not going to stop. It started with just one breach that was very well known. I think, you know, most of you have probably heard by now about the Ticketmaster breach. But now it looks like there's 12 others, and it's linked to even more. And it's linked to something that I've been talking about for the last several months, and that is the fact that hackers and fraudsters are attacking service providers and vendors because they realize that that's really where the gold mines are. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to go into the various companies that have been breached as of this week and what they believe is the source of the breach. And then we'll talk about what you can do to keep an eye out so that hopefully your business isn't used to monetize this information. So starting with the Ticketmaster breach, that was just last week, the end of May, really. I think it was May 27th. I'll start reading this article from Wired because I think it does a good job of explaining this data breach a fair amount. So details of data breaches started to emerge on May 27th. A newly registered account on cybercrime forum Xploit posted an advertisement where they claimed to be selling 1.3 terabytes of Ticketmaster data, including more than 560 million people's information. The hacker claimed to have names, addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, some credit card details, ticket sales, order details, and more. They asked for $500,000 for the database. A day later, an established hacking group, the Shiny Hunters, who they are responsible for selling 70 million AT&T records in 2021, posted the exact same Ticketmaster ad on rival marketplace breach forums. At the time, Ticketmaster and its parent company Live Nation had not yet confirmed any data theft, and it was unclear if either post selling the data was legit. On May 30th, Shiny Hunters also claimed to be selling 30 million customer details and staff information from Santander Bank, putting a $2 million price tag on that information. Both posts on breach forums have drawn attention to the illegal marketplace, which was recently revived by Shiny Hunters after the FBI took the website down on May 15th. The posts may, at least in part, be efforts to restore the disrupted forum's damaged reputation with criminals. So by posting information about new data breaches and fresh PII, fresh data and information, they're trying to revive this forum that was taken down by the FBI just on May 15th. So 2 weeks later, they're trying to say, look, we have fresh data. The two hacks are, and this is according to this article in Wired. I know that this company has not yet confirmed this, so I'm just covering my bases here. But reading this article, it says the two hacks were linked to Snowflake's systems by Israeli security firm Hudson Rock, which in a now removed blog post posted conversations its researchers had with the alleged hacker who claimed to have accessed Snowflake systems and exfiltrated the data. The hacker claimed they had tried to sell the data back to Snowflake for $20 million. The Hudson Rock Post claimed the Snowflake employee may have been infected by an info stealer that collected the details the hacker needed to log into its systems. A Google-owned security a chief technology officer at a Google-owned security firm called Mandiant told Bleeping Computer that its investigations, which have been taking place in recent weeks, indicate information stealing malware may have been used to get Snowflake account credentials. A Ticketmaster spokesperson told TechCrunch that its stolen database was hosted on Snowflake after the company acknowledged a data breach in a filing to the Securities and Exchange Commission on Friday evening. So that was May 30th. In the middle of May, before its data was advertised online, Santander first said that it had seen unauthorized access to one of its databases hosted by a third-party provider. However, it has refused to name the third party. Snowflake's CISO acknowledged the security incident on Friday, saying that if a threat actor obtains customer credentials, they may be able to access an account. The company says it became aware of the suspicious activity on May 23rd, but has since found out it had been happening since mid-April. Jones's post says Snowflake has notified all of its customers and encouraged them to review account settings and ensure they have implemented multi-factor authentication. In an additional security bulletin, Snowflake says it has seen malicious traffic from a client calling itself, I'm not going to say that term. It's inappropriate. It's just not appropriate for my airwaves, but it's a play on Snowflake. And also connections from another client. A company spokesperson tells Wired that they have nothing else to add beyond the information including in the company posts. So basically, Snowflake is a cloud provider that allows large companies to store their sensitive customer data in these databases on their cloud network. Since Ticketmaster and Santander, other companies that have acknowledged that their customer data have been breached include Advanced Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance, Anheuser-Busch, Mitsubishi, Neiman Marcus, Progressive Insurance, and State Farm Insurance. And just thinking about how much information, you know, my own vehicle and mortgage, you know, or house insurance, homeowners insurance has on me, this is scary. It's a lot of data. If we just look at the data that, you know, Ticketmaster has admitted to, names, addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, some credit card details, ticket sales, order details, and more. So there's so many things that can be done with that. So many different types of fraud that can happen with that. Now, it doesn't say that it's login information. So it's, you know, may not be usernames and passwords, which means you may not have to worry about credential stuffing attacks from this specific breach. But there's a lot of data in these attacks that can be used for so many different types of fraud. Right off the top of my head, identity theft for one, right? Creating or getting credit, lines of credit, credit cards, loans, etc. in victims' names. And they have their name, their address, their email address, their phone number, all of that to be able to apply for credit. With the credit card details, that's probably the most benign information because that will change fairly quickly. Yes, there will be some credit card fraud probably on e-commerce sites, but hopefully issuers are looking at this and looking for, you know, more suspicious activity on cards that are registered to Ticketmaster. The challenge is, I mean, Ticketmaster is in the top five of all websites in the US as far as sales go. So almost everyone in the US, you know, every adult probably has at least one Ticketmaster account. That's even more than, you know, a phone carrier or an insurance company because they would have just a small part of the market. Ticketmaster has, you know, most, if not all of the market. So it's, you know, pretty big. Just if it was just the Ticketmaster breach, let alone all these other breaches that are attached to it. One thing that really stuck out to me was the order details and the, you know, ticket sales that they've been purchased. There's a lot of phishing attacks that can happen with those, right? If you know what someone's taste in music is or what types of events they like to attend, you can then customize phishing emails or text messages to them to try to get more data. So what's probably going to happen, like usually happens with this kind of information, is it'll be sold once. The whole database will be sold for $500,000 if, you know, someone wants to purchase it for that. And then it'll start being parsed up into smaller sets. And those smaller sets of data can still be thousands of records or even millions of records. I mean, we're talking about 500 million people, 500 million records. So, I mean, actually more than, I think they said 560 million. So it could be, you know, parsed up into $1 million batches. But then those will be sold off to different fraudsters to commit different types of fraud. And then that will then be sold again and again and again for different types of fraud. So we're going to see this data out there for forever. It's not going to go away because people's names and email addresses and phone numbers and addresses don't change that often. It's not the same as credit card numbers where you can just get a new one reissued. And a lot of damage can be done with this information. I'm also concerned about the insurance companies, as I mentioned, because they have a lot of information as well that can, you know, lead to phishing attacks. It can lead to impersonation and identity theft. It can lead to account takeover on the banking side if you have enough information about a person to take over their accounts. It can lead to, you know, phishing texts to get one-time passwords so they can target the victim and a new company at the same time, right? So they can target a bank and target the customer and say, oh, we're your bank and we're concerned about your security. We're going to be sending you a, you know, alphanumeric or whatever it is, you know, numeric passcode. Please send it back to us on this text message. And then that one-time password will give the fraudsters access to those accounts. On the insurance side, it's more, you know, invasive information. It's probably date of birth and social security number also, which are often used for identity theft. It's account takeovers. It's trying to take over email addresses. It's trying to take over bank accounts and also online accounts. It's whatever you can possibly imagine with all this information out there. That's what's going to be happening over the next several months and years because of this breach.
Cerdine helps their clients reduce fraud rates, decrease false positives, and streamline risk operations with their fully integrated suite of products. You can use Cerdine for customer due diligence, fraud prevention, risk scoring, investigations, transaction monitoring, and/or case management. Their suite of products include device and behavior intelligence, identity fraud detection, account takeover and/or payment fraud prevention, issuing fraud detection, KYC and KYB, and AML compliance, all in one platform. With Cerdine, banking and online companies can capture deep device intelligence and behavior biometrics for every customer touchpoint and interaction on your website or app. Stop fraudsters from hiding their true identity. Prevent fake account signups. Detect synthetic and stolen IDs. Block bot attacks, click fraud, promo code abuse, fake listings, and device obfuscation. Prevent unauthorized access to customer accounts. Stop the use of stolen credentials. You can detect social engineering schemes like romance scams, fake financial advisors, and voice cloning attacks. Prevent fraudulent online payments, account funding, and transfers. Protect users from APP fraud, that's authorized push payment fraud. Block stolen payment credentials and decline transactions likely to result in ACH returns or chargebacks. You can also detect refund and/or returns abuse. Tackle first-party fraud and stop fraudsters from gaming your policies. Stop card cloning attacks. Prevent unauthorized card-not-present and card-present transactions. And ingest risk scores in real time for authorization decisions. For KYC and KYB, perform customer due diligence, global watchlist screening, and document verification all in one platform. Support flexible onboarding flows that route users down streamlined paths or step-up verifications. And for AML compliance, centralize your compliance operations in one dashboard. You can configure real-time and batch transaction monitoring rules, investigate suspicious activity, streamline your SAR or UAR filings, and automate case management. I've seen a lot of fraud tools and can safely say that that's a lot of capabilities to have all in one platform. You can take advantage of all or some of these features to either supplement or replace your current fraud tools. To learn more about Cerdine's suite of products or to contact them to request a personalized demo of their platform, go to www.cerdine.ai. That's www.cerdine.ai.
And I don't want to scare anyone or anything else. And yeah, we can joke and say job security, but at the same time, I know
But at least for me, and I think I speak for all of you when I say this isn't the job security that we want. It's not the kind of job security that we want by any means. But I think that we need to zoom out a little bit and look at this pattern even more. We need to look at the fact that hackers and fraudsters both are recognizing that they can, you know, score even more information or more data or commit more fraud, more money value by targeting vendors that store sensitive database information like Snowflake, vendors that are, deployed to identify fraudulent activity, to identify bots. Any way that they can attack these vendors, they will, because they're recognizing, wow, there's even more value when I target a vendor that hosts many different companies' data or that is in charge of protecting several different companies than just targeting one of those companies. Specific to the Snowflake breach, the articles that I've read have said that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that Snowflake has dozens, if not hundreds, of accounts with very large names, especially in the US. Because the bad actors were in the systems since April, based on the account that I just read, they probably were able to access a lot of database information before ever being caught, several weeks later. So, it hasn't even been a week since this data came out. Or I think it's been just about a week since the Ticketmaster breach was announced. And already there are 12 breaches that have been confirmed. Most companies have a few days before they have to notify the SEC and let them know that they were subject to a breach. So we could see even more coming out in the next few weeks. I think it's really important for fraud fighters to be aware of this and to educate your customers as much as you possibly can that they need to be looking out for suspicious text messages. And even if they know their choice of music or they know a lot of information about them that's very specific, that doesn't mean that they're legitimate. I think that's the biggest takeaway, I would say, in addition to watching your models and, being really cautious about that. If we had seen credentials, I would say that any e-commerce company that was even remotely connected to music and events or travel should be especially cautious about account takeovers, but that anyone would be subject. I don't think that we're going to see credentials just based on what Snowflake stores. I think it's customer database information, not login. But there's been, and I haven't done enough research on this yet to publicize who it is, but I've had a large merchant reach out to me about a company that is used by a lot of e-commerce companies for login, and that there are vulnerabilities in their system that have been detected by hackers and that need to be fixed at the local level for each company. And so, there's, at the same time that this breach is happening with Snowflake and it's PII information, I think it's also just equally good to know that there's a lot of credentials out there and there are some login systems that are more vulnerable than others because of attacks on the third-party vendors. And that's really where I wanted to leave it today. This is a short but sweet episode. I guess not that sweet, but wanting to give everyone this information as quickly as possible to be able to help you have that information to protect your companies. This is something that is scary and I don't like to share it. I don't like to share bad news, but at the same time, I think it's really important that we be aware of what's happening out there. And these very large, sophisticated hacking groups and networks are seeing the benefits of targeting these third-party providers to target multiple databases at a time, to target, multiple logins at a time, or, login credentials, or to target, companies' fraud detection, bot detection, all of those pieces. So knowing that, reaching out to your cybersecurity team to make sure that they're aware of this and, just to ask, hopefully nicely and not invasively, what they're doing about it or how they're responding to this would be, one thing that you can do. And then just really keeping an eye on that data, how it's being monetized, right? Keeping an eye on your fraud systems and looking for any abnormal patterns of that would show anyone or any large group that's trying to monetize this breached data on your systems, whether it's for new credit accounts, whether it's for e-commerce purchases, it's, you know, for accessing existing accounts, all of those things. It's important to keep an eye out and know that this is coming. I think that this is even scarier than the Moab breach, or the Moab, the mother of all breaches, as they say, because this is fresh data, and fresh data always has more value. And it's going to take a lot of different groups a lot of time to get through all of this and monetize it as much as they possibly can. And they'll do so in multiple ways. So I'm going to leave you with that. I'm sorry that this is not more upbeat. I definitely suggest that you listen to my interview with Austin Harris from Tuesday's episode. If you want to laugh a little bit, he's a great fraud fighter who has started the Fraud Files Unleashed podcast. It's very punny and also has a lot of great stories from his fraud fighting days when he was in law enforcement. So highly recommend that you check out that podcast, and as well as the episode that he was on. It was a really good conversation. He's a great guy, and it's just always fun to talk to new fraud fighters. So with that, I'll leave you for this week, but I will keep you posted on anything new from this specific breach, anything else that ties into the monetization of data from these data breaches. And we'll keep you posted on any new fraud news that comes up and comes across our way on Fraudology. So with that, I will look forward to speaking with you more next week.